Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis Busing. I'm the contract administrator for the department. We've had some major contract changes, and let me just pull up this item. We finished the biennial revision of our services contracts, which are our purchase of service and fee for service agreements. That was about a 7 or 8 month project. Those changes have all been reviewed by Corporation Counsel, by Risk Management, and we had two provider trainings in question and answer services back in December, and I believe the Q&A questions and answers to those sessions have now been posted on our contract administration website. Additionally, I actually would like to defer this item for further discussion. We have revised a number of our department-wide policies and procedures. We now have 10 department-wide DHHS policies and procedures, the most recent of which is the DHHS wide critical incident policy, and that policy went into effect on January 1st of 2022. So we're very encouraged about that. Though the policy, the reporting requirements, and the method of reporting have all been standardized, there's a lot of work remaining in terms of, I would say, data tracking, and then using this data to do not only a cause and effect analysis, but also a root cause analysis and improve future outcomes. So that's a heavy lift, and it involves a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of collaboration with a lot of other parties within the department. But the ultimate goal is to be able to use this information that we collect in the reporting of these critical incidents to improve patient outcomes and patient care or client care. Finally, we've made a great deal of progress this last year in contracting for racial equity with our Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. Agencies of color are run by Black or leadership. We've made a number of significant changes in our RFP processes, in our contracting documents, and in simplifying the RFP process to make the entire process more user-friendly, especially to providers who do not have experience contracting with Milwaukee County, or smaller providers that might be limited in their resources that they're able to bring to bear in participating in the RFP and competitive bid process. So we've reduced the number of documents that are required in order to participate in the RFP by about 50%, and that's gone a long way towards simplifying the process. We've also taken a hard look at the way we score for and assign points for cultural diversity and cultural competence. The weight for those two items actually has been doubled in the scoring process, and we've gone from giving those two categories a total weight of 9% to 18%, and we're already starting to see the positive effects of those changes in attracting and then being able to recommend for award more minority, Black-owned and led, and minority-owned and led agencies. So those are the major accomplishments for 2021, and are also the target of further efforts in 2022. If there's anyone else who would like to comment, or if there are any questions. I see Brenda Smith-Jenkins is on the call. Was there anything you wanted to add to that, Brenda? I know I've missed some of your initiatives, so why don't you share some of those?
Well, I think the only other thing that I would like to add as far as that is that, you know, we did go out and survey to make sure that we are doing a good job of getting people aware, making people aware of our RFP processes. So we're, you know, trying to track how they're figuring, how they're finding out about them, what's working, what's not, to ensure that we do widen our scope of people that we're trying to get interested in, you know, contracting with Milwaukee County.
Yeah, thank you. So we've done quite a bit of follow-up after each RFP to try to determine and track how interested parties and agencies are hearing about the opportunities, what outreach efforts are working the best, and which outreach efforts are not really yielding results. I think the other thing that we would like to do further work on in 2022, and perhaps Mike, you can add or share a little bit further, is we want to continue to make the RFP process more transparent, and transparency, you know, serves to show that it's an equitable and a fair process. And so we continue to have further work, especially in terms of the composition of our RFP scoring review panels. About a year ago, we moved from a minimum panel size of 3 to 5 members to score an RFP. We've also begun compensating reviewers for their time. We are now paying a stipend of $100 for each proposal, up to a maximum of $500 per reviewer per RFP. However, I do think that there's certainly further work in terms of recruiting and vetting a much larger pool of what I would call regular RFP review panel members. So thought I would share that as well. Anything you wanted to add to that, Mike?
No, I think you got it, Dennis. Thanks. The idea is it's a work in progress. We're continuing to try to make progress on it. We would like to see more panelists that reflect our community, and that takes away some of the challenges we've seen to RFPs, where, again, we've had to literally have our staff be on review panels, and that opens us up to allegations that, you know, staff have an opinion one way or another or whatever. It's so much better if these are folks that are sort of vetted and representative of the community and really don't have a stake in who wins. They're just picking the best proposal. I think that's what we want to see. So,
yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well said. Okay. Were there any questions at this time? Okay, well, if not, thank you all.
Thank you. Item number 9,